Vishnu Padram Sukhavya Acharya Asikara Sukhavya Shriman Esavangre Shalesi Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Premanande All glorious to Sambhavi All glorious to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga
Om Vishnu Padraya Krishna Prasthaya Putraya Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Namaste, Sarasatun Deve, Gauravani Vijarne, Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasika Dhyade Siddharne. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati sva padanti kam, pandeham shigro shiuta parakamalam, shigrom vaishnavam scha, shirupam sagrajatam, sahagana raganatam vitam tam sajivam, sadvaitam sabadutam, prajna saitam, krishna chaitanya devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakant Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinduvyevacha Padidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Today is the This auspicious disappearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So generally, most devotees, they expect to hear different pastimes. But when I was with Prabhupada, here in Dallas, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in New York, in Chicago, in India, and in different places, he hardly ever told any pastimes. So why would Prabhupada deny us the fun of hearing pastimes? Well, one of the reasons, from my understanding, is that this material world is a pastime. And in order to penetrate into the, or come to the position of understanding Krishna's pastimes, in the internal energy, first of all, we have to understand Krishna's pastimes in this world which is right in front of us. So Prabhupada was trying to educate us so we could see this world as a pastime of Krishna, so that we can enter into this pastime of Krishna. This pastime of Krishna, of course, has two aspects. One is the material energy chastising the conditioned souls for refusing to serve Krishna. Bhakti, yogena manasi, samyak, pranihite malay, apaisha purusham purnam, maya chattad apashayam. So Srila Vyasadeva, he was despondent because he had not adequately glorified Krishna's activities. But here we find out that when he was meditating on Krishna, what he saw was, first of all, Krishna, and then he saw Maya on the backside. And that Krishna was fully controlling all his energies. So this was the pastime he was seeing, how Krishna was in control of all his different energies. And that Yaya samohito jiva atmakam trigunatmakam paropi manyate narata chatpikam chatpipadyate. And he saw the living entities were all suffering. Of course, in America, we don't suffer, so we don't have to worry about it. That's for other countries. But in other countries, or maybe a few unfortunate people in America are suffering. Things like birth, death, old age, and disease. But here we've already figured technologically how to surpass all those things. Or at least when we die in America, we die wealthy. Or we die in a technologically advanced atmosphere. So it's not really the same as dying in poverty or without any sophisticated instruments. In any case, he saw the living entities were all suffering. Yayasa mohito jiva. And principally, they were suffering because they were an illusion. So what is that illusion? How is it possible that all these educated people in the Western world, or in the Eastern world, or in the North Pole or the South Pole, how is it that they're all an illusion? Because we all identify ourselves with this body. Anyone who identifies themselves with their body, they're an illusion. It may be a very nice illusion, just like we may consider that life in America is certainly a better illusion than life in Iraq. So therefore, we certainly prefer this illusion. But after all, there's not really that much difference in the illusions, maybe in the intensity. Here, we also have to grow old. So the illusion of growing old in Iraq or the illusion of growing old in America is not really much different. And we're also uncomfortable here. It may be more uncomfortable in Iraq, and it may be less uncomfortable here. And we all have to die. And death is not generally very comfortable for anyone. And in general activities, people are eating here and sleeping, mating, defending. And in any place we go throughout the universe, people are doing the same things. So the illusion may apparently be better in one place or worse in another place. But after all, it's pretty much the same illusion everyone's in. And everyone's pretty much suffering. If we're not suffering now, we'll suffer in the future. In other words, suffering is more or less the same for everyone. Everyone is suffering. Sometimes we realize we're suffering, and we call it suffering. And sometimes we think we're happy, and we call it happiness. But it's just of different varieties of intensity of suffering. Therefore, to get out of this illusion is actually the goal of human life. Human life is the opportunity to get out of this misconception of identifying ourselves with this body. We may be a good person or a bad person, a rich person, a poor person, but the real progress in life is how much we've actually gotten out of this misconception of identifying ourselves with this body. And ultimately, the best way of not identifying ourselves with this body is to identify ourselves as Krishna's servant. That automatically frees us from the material concept of life. Therefore, yayasa mohito jiva atmakam trigunatmakam paropi manite nardam chat atmakam chapipadyate. Therefore, he tried to get the living entities out of this misconception by compiling the Bhagavatam, anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga adhokshijam, janato vidvan. What's the first word? No, it's not loka. Chakra samitas. Chakra satita samhitam. Yes. So it's anarto pasamam sakshat. In order to get rid of our misconceptions, our anarthas, ultimately anartha means anything outside of Krishna's service is an anartha. Pasamam means to uproot our anarthas, he gave us the Bhagavatam. Anartho Pasamam Sakshad Bhakti Yoga Dat Hokshijam Lokasya Janata Vidvam Chakraya Satpita Samhita. So he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam just for our benefit. And what is the Bhagavatam concerned about? More or less, the very beginning of the Bhagavatam shows us how this material creation is in relation to Krishna. That really nothing is going out on outside our relation with Krishna. It's not that we were establishing a relation with Krishna. We already have a relation with Krishna. That's eternal. It can't be given up at any time. But we have to be able to see what that relationship is with Krishna and act accordingly. So of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually established the methodology of acting in a relation with Krishna in this material world so that our activities become part of Krishna's pastime. As we know, Krishna hasn't really changed his pastime since he's come to the material world, since he's created the material world. It's the same pastime for Krishna, and it's the same pastimes under the illusory energy. So Krishna had said in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya tridiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavani yuge yuge. Every millennium Krishna comes, he has the same pastime, protecting the devotees, annihilating the miscreants, and reestablishing religious principles. So we're supposed to become an instrument to that pastime. And we glorify Prabhupada because he was the perfect instrument for Krishna in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of delivering the conditioned souls. He showed us the happiness that comes from participating in the pastime, and he showed us how to participate in Krishna's pastimes. Our very program in the morning, which has become somewhat of a rare phenomenon in ISKCON, in different parts of the world at least, but that participating daily, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, in the Bhagavatam class, coming to Mangal Arati, chanting our japa, etc., as Prabhupada says, that this was the basic principle of all the different scriptures, somehow or another, as it's different verses, but Smarta Vyaksadatam Vishnu, Vismarta Jatu Nakinchit, Sarva Vidini Sedyasyor, Etyar Eva Kinkara. That this is the essence of all the Vedic scriptures, to always somehow or another remember Krishna and to never forget him. This is the Nisheda and the Vidis of all the scriptures. And Prabhupada, he was, from my experience, I remember the first time I personally was with Srila Prabhupada, I was there a week in Buffalo, New York. Prabhupada had come to get to the temple we had. This is in 1969. So I spent sometimes hours with Prabhupada because in the morning we could go and visit him and he'd just talk to us, whoever would come and visit. And there were not very many devotees there. Although we were considered a Maha temple at that time, we had only around 6 or 7 devotees. And there were some visitors, there was Nandi Kishore and his wife Janavi, they had come to get married and take initiation, they had come from Montreal. So there was a few other devotees there, but it was not a very large turnout. So we could go in the morning and just sit with Prabhupada, sometimes only 1 or 2 devotees would be there, sometimes more. And Prabhupada just talked to us sometimes for hours. What was most evident being with Prabhupada is that he was always thinking about Krishna. As I was interested in that time in meditation, specifically mystic powers or something. But I was quite impressed by the fact that Prabhupada was always in meditation. And he was always meditating about Krishna. So that made him quite happy. And we hear in the Krishna book that that's what the gopis were doing. They're always thinking about Krishna. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. But, unfortunately, we're in the material world and there's a lot of distraction. And not only we're in the material world, but we're in Kali Yuga, which is made to distract everyone. Previously, people used to be embarrassed about sense gratification. They realized that maybe there was something wrong with acting like an animal. But nowadays, people are not embarrassed at all to act like an animal. They, matter of fact, they're quite proud of being an animal. And they think anyone who doesn't act like an animal, there's something wrong with them. There's some psychological inhibitions that their minds are clouded by, and liberation for them is to get rid of all the inhibitions and to come to a higher standard of being an animal. So this is not the Vedic viewpoint. This is not the vision we're supposed to be seeing. Unfortunately, for the most part, in modern society, this is the vision we've been trained up with. I remember one time, probably gave a lecture, and he said that he was visiting a doctor in Los Angeles. And was seeing the doctor in Los Angeles, on the way there, he passed by a movie, and the movie was entitled, Is There Sex After Death? The Prabhupada came back and said, I saw this title for a movie, Is There Sex After Death? And then he gave a part of his lecture was about that. He said, you should tell them that there is sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. That way they won't worry about death. So these things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, has become a preoccupation. As a matter of fact, they think progress is to increase these things to an unlimited degree. That somehow or another they're going to invent a society where people won't have to do anything. They just open their mouths and the food, just whatever they desire, they press some button at the most. And then just food enters into their mouth. And whenever they feel like it, they just close their eyes and go to sleep. And somehow or another, whether by virtual reality or in reality, they can have sex 24 hours a day. And they'll be able to annihilate all their enemies just by their willpower. And this can go on forever. So this is the imagined paradise that they're all hankering for, that they're advertising, that they're making progress towards. Causes a few problems on the way, like old age, disease, and death that people have to face, plus the fact that sense gratification is not really, they don't even know how to gratify their senses. The air is contaminated, the water is contaminated, the atmosphere is contaminated, people's minds are contaminated, everything's contaminated, and therefore their senses, there's no clean water, there's no fresh food, there is no nice relationships, there is no peace, there is nothing of sense gratification, only the advertisement for it. So people, I guess, they'll eat the advertisements eventually. So this knowledge, what actually is real gratification of the senses, what is reality, this is what Prabhupada put in his books. In other words, the very process by which we can come to the platform of the perfection of life, like Srila Prabhupada, where we can not only see this world in relation to Krishna, and what's the main problem of this world, when we read Bhagavad Gita, what do we see is the perfection of vision in this world. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha, Pandita Samadarshanaha. That the learned person, he sees with an equal vision, the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog eater, and the outcast. Seeing everyone as a soul within a body. Modern society, they think, well, maybe there's some kind of soul, but the important thing is the body. Soul, after the body leaves and the soul disappears. But no, we're actually supposed to see the soul and the body as a covering over the soul, and within the soul there is a super soul. And the important thing is the soul and the super soul, not the temporary body. So that's part of the perfection of coming to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So that's what Prabhupada taught us, to engage this body in Krishna service, and at the same time, as Krishna, Lord Krishna, And as the other personality, well, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Śrīla Prabhupāda, they're all saying the same thing. Practice becoming Krishna conscious and then try to distribute that knowledge to others. So Prabhupada was not glorified simply because of his perfection in being Krishna conscious. Prabhupada's glorified because he took the risk, came to the Western world, went all over the world to give everyone an opportunity to become Krishna conscious in this age. Specifically by translating books, Krishna's books, and inspiring the devotees to not only distribute them, but to also to practically apply them within their lives so they can experience or realize them. So this movement is actually a missionary movement, and glorifying Prabhupada means not that Prabhupada came, did wonderful things, unfortunately had to disappear, and now all we can do is lament and go on with our lives, whatever they are. No, that would, we're actually supposed to go back to the spiritual world, but that's a different thing. Whether we go back to the spiritual world or in this lifetime or now or whatever. But we're supposed to serve the mission of Prabhupada, which is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the best we can. And that means by doing that, we'll come to the best possible state of happiness. That Prabhupada was not, you know, you can do whatever you want and maybe you'll get you'll become happy because, you know, modern society is very advanced, Western society. Prabhupada was not so impressed by how advanced Western society has become. He did appreciate America because America didn't interfere so much with his preaching. But as far as the technological advancement, Prabhupada was not so impressed by it. All these machines. Machine for brushing your teeth, machine for shaving, machine for cutting your toenails, machine for everything. But we're not against machines, but just because people have machines, the machines won't save us at the time of death. There's no machine to save the soul. There's no machine to cut away our karma. The only way of cutting away or diminishing the reactions for our karma is by the process of devotional service, and that's what Prabhupada tried to emphasize. Hearing about Krishna, but hearing about Krishna is not generally sufficient for getting the full effect of Krishna consciousness. We also have to understand we have to not only hear, but we have to memorize what we heard. Because if we haven't memorized what we heard, that means that we're still remembering our past. It's not that we're not remembering. We're remembering it every moment. But we're remembering ignorance all the time. That's called conditioned life. Constantly remembering our ignorant past. I am this body. I am Tarzan. She's Jane. I am Romeo. She's Juliet. Whatever. I'm Mickey Mouse. She's Minnie Mouse. Humble or whatever. So we're always remembering this illusion. So we have to memorize the scriptures in such a way that we at least have some choice. If we don't memorize the scriptures, there is no choice. The only choice is our conditioned nature, and it acts very quickly. Even I went to, at the university, when Prabhupada came to the university, one of the first things he mentioned to my temple president, Rupanuga, said that this place is a slaughterhouse. Because, I mean, I went to the university for a year as a devotee. I can testify, you could really experience, at least I really experienced at that time, how bewildering the university is meant to be. All my teachers who were formerly my friends, when I had a shaven head and a dhoti on, they thought I was worse than a leper. They wouldn't even get near me. They didn't want to get contaminated by whatever I had caught. So Prabhupada said that this place is a slaughterhouse. So modern education is meant to groove into our brains the conception that we are this body and that the only purpose of life is to make money, work like a dog for some master. He gets all the meat on the bone and you get the bone. And you should smile because you're a dog anyhow. That's all you deserve is the bone. So that's more or less what modern society groove in. Work hard like an ass, enjoy like a hog, sleep like a bear, have sex like a pigeon, defend yourself like a tiger. And then you're a good person. You're normal. You'll pass all the tests and they'll say, oh, he's normal. He doesn't need a psychologist because he's like everyone else. But Prabhupada introduced something very different on the behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami. And we have to, first of all, hear, but we have to memorize what we've heard. And we can't get distracted by all the doubts. Because as soon as we start taking Krishna consciousness seriously, Maya will give us so many doubts. Why are you wasting your time with this? You could be doing something really important like making more money, getting a better house, etc., nicer prasadam, you know, more money in the bank for your retirement when you're going to go to Vrindavan. And that, and then you're actually going to hear and chant about Krishna there. So one could actually, well, we have to memorize, which is kind of like, you know, a little taxing for our brains. Well, I'm too old, you know. I could have done that when I was 20, but now I'm in my 50s, you know. I can't really memorize anything. I just have to go with what I have already. No, we've already memorized everything. We have very good, everyone has a fairly good memory because we can't forget Maya. That we can't forget. So we have to hear it constantly, and if not, you know, sometimes the same thing over and over again. When Prabhupada first came to America, for years, before we had tapes, no one had a tape recorder, believe it or not, back in ancient history. There were no tape recorders available. They were too big. Prabhupada's original tape recorder was huge. It was the size of a suitcase. It had these huge reels on it. And they were very expensive. They were not, well, for people like myself. No one ever thought of buying a tape recorder. There's nothing to record anyhow. Everything was records, vinyl records, if you wanted to listen to something. So, Prabhupada, we'd call up, or someone would call up, to find out what the newest philosophy Prabhupada was speaking, because everyone wants something new. We always want to hear something new. New class, something interesting. They're going to, we're going to come to class. Oh, it's a sannyasi. He's going to tell us the whole same old thing. Probably he's going to say dogs, hogs, camels, asses. We expect this poor sannyasi, you know. They're dry and they have no love in him. They don't understand. So Prabhupada would say, you know, I remember Burjan. He had joined a couple of months before I did, so he was considered a senior devotee at that time. And he was the only one giving class 3 times a week at the university on the philosophy, and I'd come to all the classes. Unfortunately, we had no Bhagavad Gita at that time. The only book they had was they didn't even have a book. It was a couple of pages by Dr. Radha Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. And since Prabhupada didn't like the purport, all he could read practically was the translation. So this was going on for months. All he'd read was Deno Sminita Dehe, because that's the only verse he had. Had one verse, and that was our Bhagavad Gita class, without any purport. The embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. So similarly, the soul will pass to another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by these changes. So you can just imagine 3 times a week hearing the same things. And Burjan Prabhu was, you know, he was a senior devotee, but he was only in the movement for 2 months. So how much he had realized the difference between matter and spirit, I don't really know. But so I was thinking, my God, don't they have anything more to the philosophy than this? So after around a few months of listening to it, one day I realized, wow, this is fantastic. I'm not the body. And then for years, Prabhupada's lectures, which you can listen to, dwelt always on the fact that we're not this body. So we may think, well, I have to pass that. I heard that for so many years. I've been hearing it for almost 40 years now. Unfortunately, we haven't still realized that we're not this body. It would be great to realize that we're not this body. Theoretically, at least, we could imagine that. Because then we'd realize that we're eternal. And that would be quite, you know, comfortable to feel and to understand that we're eternal. Because our main problem is we're going to die. Another pessimistic class, but the body's going to die. But we're not going to die. We're all eternal. So, prasanatma, we'd at least become joyful. We'd know what joyfulness is if we realize that we're not this body. Without realizing that we're not this body, there is no question of actually being joyful. We can become ecstatic by participating in Krishna conscious activities and becoming conscious of Krishna, getting some Daivi Prakriti. But to be in a permanent state of joyfulness, then at least we have to realize that we're not this body. So this is something Prabhupada dwelled on. So we could eventually memorize it, realize it. Memorization is almost close to realization. Because then if we memorize something, then in different circumstances we can act according to it, and then we'll realize it by Krishna's mercy. When he sees that we've heard, we've memorized, we've understood enough to apply it in our lives, then Krishna gives us the realization by his mercy. But sometimes we think ignorance is bliss, but it's not very blissful. As everyone in the mature world has personal experience, ignorance is not bliss. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasized we should learn how to hear. And then hearing, not only hearing, but we should try to hear in such a way as we've understood. And what was that understanding? That we have to become an instrument for Krishna. Therefore, especially preaching, Prabhupada emphasized. Why? Because if we're personally preaching, if we're personally distributing books or having home programs or talking to our wives and children about Krishna consciousness, then we have to hear ourselves. Therefore, hearing is there. Everyone likes to listen to themselves. It's very easy to give class, very difficult to listen to class, more difficult to listen to class. And then to remember the class, that's even more difficult. Even my own classes, I can't remember what they were, because they're not even my classes. All we can do is try to become an instrument, actually, and Krishna is the one who's actually supplying the knowledge. And we're just all getting the opportunity to hear it. In any case, by the hearing constantly and chanting, etc., then if we're out on preaching, not only we're hearing and chanting, but we're getting the best opportunity to realize what we're talking about to some extent, according to our sincerity and according to the desire of the audience to understand. To inspire them to go out and do something practical. Just like Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, first of all, he asked Arjuna if he was awake. Everyone, I guess, even back there, people had a tendency to fall asleep when anyone talked about Krishna consciousness. So the first thing he asked Krishna, Arjuna, because Arjuna asked so many questions, but seriously, that's what Krishna asked Arjuna if he was actually paying attention. Kachere tashutam parta payaka grena chetasa. Have you actually been paying attention to what I said? And Arjuna, he didn't reply well. I think I did. You know, see, that was nectar devotion you talked to me about, right? No. Science of Self-Realization? Which book was it? Bhagavad Gita? Oh, that's right. So he asked him if he was paying attention. And he wasn't satisfied, Arjuna, saying, yes, I paid attention. Krishna understood what would be the actual result of paying attention to what he had said. So he said, is your illusion dispelled? So part of our illusion is that we think we're the body. Part of our illusion, we think that there's nothing, no one control in this universe. And part of our illusion, we think that the highest goal is somehow or another to enjoy the material energy, either by mystic power or by liberation or by material sense gratification. So part of the illusion is we don't realize that there's a much higher platform of activity than material activity, spiritual activity, devotional service. Is your illusion, have you get, so you said, kachire tachutam partha, vayai ka grana chetasa, kachiragana samoha, pranatas te dhananjaya. And is your ignorance, agana, and samoha, is your ignorance and illusion dispelled? And what is the test? Are you prepared to act according to my instruction? So Arjuna said, Nashto moha smritir ladva. My illusion has been dispelled. I regained my memory by your mercy, and now prepare to act according to your direction. So how do we know that Arjuna actually meant what he said? We know because he fought in the battle of Kurukshetra and killed and did exactly what Krishna said. So how do we know if Prabhupada has actually ended our ignorance and our illusion? If we've actually regained our mercy, if we're actually prepared to act according to his instructions. So there are many, many instructions Prabhupada gave for different levels of devotion, different circumstances, etc. But at least if we try to act something according to Prabhupada's instructions, then we'll become inspired to do more, because the result is we'll become enlivened and enlightened by doing so. The Prabhupada became enlightened and enlivened, although he may be, you know, we understand he was a Nityasiddha, but still he became more enlivened, more enlightened by following the instructions of his spiritual master. And basically Prabhupada tells us in Chaitanya Charitamrita that my spiritual master gave me two instructions. He only gave me one instruction, Prabhupada said, more or less. Preach Krishna consciousness. Especially, Prabhupada said, my spiritual master emphasized printing books and distributing them. And that's what Prabhupada emphasized with us. We don't have to be a atomic physicist to figure out that that's what Prabhupada wanted us to do. Print books and distribute them as widely as possible. And at the same time, apply the books within our lives. So Prabhupada wanted, he said, my God brothers, they didn't understand my Guru Maharaj very well. Therefore, after his disappearance, they spent more time fighting with each other over his property and who would have what position than actually preaching Krishna consciousness, especially by printing books and by distributing them. They spent less time following the orders of the Guru Maharaj and more time fighting with each other who was going to replace him. So this is something Prabhupada cautioned us from the beginning. We shouldn't try to replace our Guru Maharaj. We should try to follow his instructions. And those instructions that not only Prabhupada's followers are supposed to be preaching, but all those instructions are found within Prabhupada's books. Now, of course, our success will be that we are so much conscious of Krishna that automatically all we're seeing is what's in Prabhupada's books, because what's actually going on is described in Prabhupada's books. So somehow or another, if we come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, that's all we'll see is what's in Prabhupada's books. Or if we try to see through Prabhupada's books, then at least we'll be able to see better and we'll be able to act better, so that eventually we'll realize what's actually in Prabhupada's books. In any case, we shouldn't spend so much time trying to become another, you know, acharya or another this and that. We should spend more time trying to understand how to become a servant of the previous acharyas, apply it within our lives, and realize that's all we're going to become at the end of the end of the story. Even when we go back to the spiritual world, that's all we're going to be, is a servant. But we shouldn't worry so much about that, you know, because servant, I never really wanted to become a servant. I didn't, you know, I'm going to be back in the spiritual world, and who knows, they're going to maybe have me in the kitchen eternally, washing dishes. cleaning their Chintamani temples and Chintamani palaces while they're out dancing. I'm just cleaning eternally. And once in a while I get a little remnants just to keep me happy. So our conception of what the spiritual world is, where you become a servant, well, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes here to become a servant. That in the spiritual world, there's nothing better than being a servant. Everyone wants to become a servant. Even Krishna wants to be a servant. And here, no one wants to become a servant. Everyone wants to become the master. Although everyone is a servant, of illusion, and getting no benefit from doing it. But at the end of the story, if we actually become Krishna conscious, then we become simply a servant of the servant of the servant of everyone. We become a perfect servant. And because Prabhupada was a perfect servant, therefore he was perfectly empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness, to try to help others realize and learn how to become servants of Krishna themselves. So we shouldn't be afraid of becoming a servant. What will people think about me if I become a servant, if I do too much service? You know, I don't want to become embarrassed. People will think, I always thought he was only a servant, although he was trying to act like a big master. But now I realize he's just a servant. Well, Prabhupada showed us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us, our whole disciple succession shows us how blissful it is to become a servant, how that's the perfection of life, how only in that way, becoming a servant of Krishna, can we benefit ourselves and benefit others at the same time. We shouldn't worry so much about where we are on the ladder. We should worry about that, whether we're on the ladder or not. So, maybe my godbrothers would like to say a few words here.
I just thank you, Pastor Maharaj. You're mentioning Mystic Power a couple of times, and being Prabhupada's disappearance day. Could you mention a little bit about the? He had mentioned he had this power. He could leave when he wanted to or stay longer, and devotees would ask him sometimes in long, drawn-out dialogues, can you please stay a little longer, and so on. Could you mention a little bit about that?
I don't really think Prabhupada said he could leave when he wanted to. He really said it was up to Krishna. He said, I'll ask Krishna. So Prabhupada never really took the position that, you know, he was in control. He took the position that Krishna was in control, and he was going to see what Krishna wanted ultimately. Even our prayer to Prabhupada at that time, for Prabhupada staying here, we would ask, you know, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please let Prabhupada stay longer. So, of course, Krishna is not just some autocrat who just, you know, he's thinking, oh, these little tiny insignificant souls, why are they bothering me with all these requests? You know, I'm just going to do whatever I feel like it. Now, Krishna is quite responsive to his devotees. Therefore, it's more powerful to, with devotion, ask Krishna something. Because like Prabhupada said, that if you put a flower in Srimati Radharani's hand and say, my dear Srimati Radharani, Krishna belongs to you, so you know, please offer this flower to him. So then Srimati Radharani will offer the flower saying, my dear Krishna, I'm actually not a devotee, your devotee, but a real devotee of yours gave me this flower to offer to you. So because Srimati Radharani actually has unlimited feelings like that, being of a servant, of all the servants, therefore Krishna, he has to accept the flower. He feels completely controlled by the love of Srimati Radharani, and then we get the credit for the flower. Otherwise, if we offer the flower, then we'd probably do it in the mood. My dear Krishna, you're so fortunate. You have such a nice servant as I am. You're so fortunate. I've gotten such a nice flower for you. You know, now you're unlimitedly obliged to me. Now you're going to have to do whatever I tell you to do, because I bribed you with this flower. So with such a mood, Krishna probably wouldn't even take the flower. But because Srimati Radharani has the correct mood and she's such a nice devotee, therefore when we offer her something, she actually thinks that we're a devotee when we offer it to her. And therefore when she offers it to Krishna, Therefore, it becomes offered. Similarly, Prabhupada never took the position of being the controller. He always took the position of the servant of his spiritual master. Therefore, if we offer something to Prabhupada, then it gets offered to his spiritual master, and ultimately, the spiritual master is seen as either a confidential servant of Srimati Radharani or a representative of Lord Nityananda. Therefore, it gets offered. So Prabhupada said, my mystic power, when he was asked about mystic power, what mystic power he said, I don't have any mystic power. He said, my mystic power is I'm presenting what my spiritual master presented. I have nothing new. I have no special power. I'm just simply presenting what my spiritual master is presenting. And then, of course, we can see that Prabhupada did have power. Why? Because of such an attitude. Therefore, his spiritual master, the whole disciple succession, plus Krishna, utilized him as an instrument, and therefore manifested all their potencies through him. And therefore, the Sankirtan movement spread because of the Daivi Prakriti, the transcendental potencies manifested through Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, my mystic power, one time also he said that. He said, this is my mystic power. He pointed to all of his disciples. He said, so many years ago, they were just taking intoxication, eating meat, having illicit sex, and gambling, and now they become into mad after God. He said, that's my mystic power. So that's real mystic power. Someone may manipulate the material energy, but Prabhupada was able to actually awaken the soul from the dead. Javadi, would you like to say something?
The greatest pleasure of my life was having the association of His Divine Grace and Prabhupada. Many devotees didn't have a chance to meet Prabhupada at all. Some had a chance to spend a lot of time with Him, but I think all of His disciples admit quite freely that his company, his association, was the high point of life.
Heard yourself?
I have a lot of realization to what you were talking about. You mentioned about following the truth of God, how you became enlightened. My first experience with feeling the spiritual enthusiasm was, seems like the more I try to follow the Prabhupada, say in class, the more enlightened I feel every day. It wasn't, you know, just, like you say, spiritual program going out in Sankirtan and knowing that he was being pleased by it, I experienced that enlightenment. So I got a good realization from you saying, follow me, order the spiritual master high, it enlightens you. And of course, he said two things. He said, you can do what you want for Krishna, or you can do what Krishna wants. He said, Krishna will accept them both equally. I know what I'm saying, but still, just because he wanted us to go out and preach, going out and preach, that really enlightened me. So when you said that, I remember the experience of how fired up we were, just because we were dedicated to just doing what he said. And what Prabhupada was saying also, we couldn't transmit the experience of our association with Prabhupada to anyone. We could only invite them to come here, associate with Prabhupada. We couldn't describe his glories to how wonderful he was to anyone. It was something that you had experienced personally. So all we could do when we go out is to bring people to Prabhupada. And that was our big mission. You got to come here to Prabhupada speak. Come to meet, you know. We were so obsessed with giving people to meet Prabhupada because it had to be a something personal experience. I mean, that was my realization that it was a unique experience to meet Prabhupada and associate with him, hearing, watching, and following. It has to be experiences. So our great endeavor was to get people to just read this book or just come hear his class or just hear his tape, because anyone who hears the tape really wakes up. Travel goes to great realization. I had to understand that. Spiritual masters, I mean, true powers, so unique that you would definitely need to sit at this. Thanks for reminding me of
that. Any judgment?
Yeah, that was the same experience in your class. Living on the buses and going out in the vans and reading Prabhupada's books. The whole mood was to try to get purified so that we could have some potency so that whoever we spoke with would benefit from some enthusiasm and be able to take one of Prabhupada's books, be able to read Prabhupada's books, and then if we sincerely really tried and prayed to the Lord to somehow help the people and give up selfishness completely and try to become an instrument to go out and preach, then I'm very, very happy and very enlightened by Krishna's contact. We see it, that Krishna was using us to transmit some poetry so that people would take the book. And by being used as a tool, we experienced that happiness. Remembering that also, how wonderful those experiences were definitely. I didn't have really much of Srila Prabhupada's personal association. Of course, the classes in Chicago and a few different places in India. I was never one of the ones that got to be, I was just a rank and file brahmachari, sankirtan devotees, never had that association, but to go out and try and, do something, trying to distribute Prabhupada's books and trying to be an instrument. That was definitely the greatest happiness for me to be able to do that. So I was appreciating Srila Prabhupada's potency that people who are like myself completely fallen into my hand to be able to go out and do something and get some spiritual realizations.
Else like to say something?
What advice would you give to the devotees now that whole class by the Hindu Sunita, that whole verse? What advice would you give the devotees now to elevate themselves to the spiritual platform, compromising culture, inspiring them?
Read Prabhupada's books. Try to understand them, try to apply them, which means basically if one is living in the temple, get up in the morning, come to the program, try to preach whatever service you have, try to spread Krishna consciousness. And if you're living outside, do the same thing outside, your home. Just follow what Prabhupada said. Yeah, generally, practically speaking, is that I guess what we're missing the most is the conviction that we have the best process and that it's so good that everyone else should have it too. That enthusiasm, which comes from the conviction and the intelligence to actually spread Krishna consciousness and actually see it spread. In any case, none of us individually are supermen. So to lament, how we're not dynamically spreading Krishna consciousness and still not being able to do it anyhow will not be very productive. So in a humble way, we should just go on with our program of hearing and chanting about Krishna and make a humble attempt in our own lives to try to spread Krishna consciousness to the best we can. Anything else? Yes. Bhagavad Gita. The whole thing. What's that? Generally that's the best. Actually, anything that we can utilize is probably best. I have an advantage is because I give classes a lot. Therefore, I can Krishna. You know, if I memorize, like I usually read Bhagavad Gita every day, and I read. But by memory, I go over one chapter, the Sanskrit and the English, and I read 10 verses at least every day of the Bhagavad Gita, with the Sanskrit, the word for word, the translation, the purport, and try and remember it somewhat. But then I get a chance to utilize it because I give class regularly. But still, the other parts, you know, Mara Nugrahaya Paramam Guyam Atyatma Samgitam. Yet vichasteteyoyam, mogho yo vikatam maya. I didn't pronounce it right. Mara nugrahaya paramam guyam adhyatma samgitam. Yet priyotas tvaya, vichasteena mogho yo vikatam mama. Arjuna said, by hearing these instructions in the most confidential spiritual matters, my illusion, you kindly giving me about these most spiritual subject matters, my illusion has now been dispelled. So mostly we're not going to utilize that verse very much. It's the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Because, you know, there's so many other verses that are more understandable. But if we practice memorizing, then our ability to memorize will become better. And if we keep on going on the same thing again and again, then it becomes more ingrained within us. But generally verses like Deno Sminita Dehe Kamaram Yovanam Jara Tata Dahantra Praptira Diras Tatra Namuyati. So these things we can easily preach from. If we're ever asked to preach, then naturally this is like the very basic principles of devotional service. And we can explain to people on that basis. Matter of fact, that's probably, for us, one of the most important verses to remember. Because if we're ever stuck with any kind of challenge, we can always say, well, all right, you have your opinion, we have our opinion, but let's look at it practically, who we actually are, how much knowledge you really have. If you don't know that you're not your body, that you're actually a spiritual soul, then actually you don't know anything. Most fundamental part of knowledge, who you are, you don't even have that. But here in Bhagavad Gita, we actually can explain to you and everyone else that actually there's a difference between our real selves and this false self called the body. So this is real knowledge we have. So if you don't know that, what do you really know? So things like that, even we may not be great scholars, but if we have that much conviction, then we can actually have some, where we actually, our knowledge is quite powerful. Yes.
And how do we get over this weakness of kind of feeling like a lack of support? Like in the old days, or practically not too long ago, many, many devotees would be in the devotee program, chanting japa, it's very enthusiastic, but now, because people live far away, or there's different circumstances, many times the japa classes,
go out and distribute books. Because if you go out and distribute, just like I always thought, well, if you go out in Sankirtan, you're going out with all the other devotees. But practically speaking, we're always alone when we're distributing books. It's just us and Krishna. And therefore, by relying upon Krishna, we actually see how it all happens. How actually by relying upon Krishna, we actually get the spiritual strength, intelligence, and everything else. Although we're just, it's you and ourselves and Krishna. But Krishna, if we rely upon Him, He gives us everything we need. So if we put ourselves in a position where we have to rely upon Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. The demigods, they are always relying upon Krishna. Therefore, Krishna comes and reciprocates with them and saves them. And the demons, they are always wanting to kill Krishna. Therefore, Krishna comes and reciprocates with them also and kills them. So we have to put ourselves in a position where we have to rely upon Krishna. So we can see Krishna is actually reliable. And then even if we're in circumstances where we don't apparently get so much support, but we'll know if we get Krishna support, we have all the support we need. We get the support of the disciplic succession, Krishna, then we get all this the spiritual strength and knowledge, everything else we really need. So to become independently strong, to depend upon Krishna. Okay, so I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mahautsava Tirabhava Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.